It was constructed of osier rods, neatly woven together into a sort of basket work, and covered with an untanned hide, with the hairy side in. It was nearly oval in shape, and resembled a great bowl, some 3.5 feet wide and a foot longer. A broad paddle with a long handle lay in it, and the boy, getting into it and standing erect in the middle, paddled down the strip of water, which 100 yards further opened out into a broad 1/2 mile long and 400 or 500 yards wide. Beyond moving slowly away as the coracle approached them, the waterfowl paid but little heed to its appearance. The boy paddled to the end of the broad, whence a passage, through which flowed a stream so sluggish that its current could scarcely be detected, led into the next sheet of water. Across the entrance to this passage floated some bundles of light rushes. These the boy drew out one by one. Attached to each was a piece of cord, which, being pulled upon, brought to the surface a large cage, constructed somewhat on the plan of a modern eel or lobster pot. They were baited by pieces of dead fish, and from them the boy extracted 50 of eels and as many fish of different kinds. "Not a bad haul," he said, as he lowered the cages to the bottom again. "Now let us see what we have got in our pen." He paddled a short way along to a point where a little lane of water ran up through the rushes. This narrowed rapidly, and the lad got out from his boat into the water, as the coracle could proceed no further between the line of rushes. The water was knee-deep, and the bottom soft and oozy. At the end of the creek it narrowed until the rushes were but a foot apart. They were bent over here, as it would seem, to a superficial observer, naturally, but a close examination would show that those facing each other were tied together, where they crossed, at a distance of a couple of feet above the water, forming a sort of tunnel. 2 feet farther on, this ceased, and the rushes were succeeded by lines of strong osier withies, an inch or two apart, arched over and fastened together. At this point was a sort of hanging door formed of rushes backed with osiers, and so arranged that at the slightest push from without, the door lifted and enabled a wild fowl to pass under, but dropping behind it, prevented its exit. The osier tunnel widened out to a sort of inverted basket, 3 feet in diameter. On the surface of the creek floated some grain which had been scattered there the evening before as bait. The lad left the creek before he got to the narrower part, and, making a small circuit in the swamp, came down upon the pen. "Good," he said, "I'm in luck today. Here are 3 fine ducks. Bending the yielding osiers aside, he drew out the ducks one by one, wrung their necks, and passing their heads through his girdle, made his way again to the coracle. Then he scattered another handful or two of grain in the water, sparingly near the mouth of the creek, but more thickly at the entrance to the trap, then paddled back again by the way he had come.